I don't think I need to tell you. I need the Lord's help this morning. If I could put a title to what I want to share with you today, it would be Embrace Suffering. Last year, Cheryl and I was not able to come to Monarch. We had another project we were working with. That project is maybe best described in a verse in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We were home with Cheryl fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. 4 days after this meeting ended, she cashed in on eternal life. When do we lay hold on eternal life? Is it when I draw my last breath, I lay hold on eternal life? I would like to think that eternal life began for her on the day she gave her heart to the Lord. And then the scripture came, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." She cashed in on that. We read of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress when he put his fingers in his ears and he cried out, "Life, life, eternal life." And he started running for the celestial city. I would like to think that he started laying hold on eternal life with that decision. To each of us here today, if you're saved, you have laid hold on it, but you got to be faithful till we draw that last breath. There's a song that we sing that tells us the victory that can be when we have laid hold on eternal life throughout our life. It says, "There light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. And there the Lord of life shall greet and worship at his blessed feet." We sang a song maybe last night, number 409, that talked about the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. You know, to many people, when they draw that last breath and go out into eternity, it's going to be like a crash of the ages. It does not have to be. In a Christian's life, it can be a blending of time and eternity. I am very thankful for that. And then Paul tells us at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, "I fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, and it's not for me only, but for everybody that loves his appearing." Today, each one of us are running for our crown. What is my expectation of Christ when I got saved? When Jesus spoke of John the Baptist, he said, "What went ye out for to see? What were you looking for when you looked at John the Baptist?" I kind of think that same thing when we look at the sixth chapter of John. What were those people looking for when they looked at Jesus? When we look at the sixth chapter of John, it starts out in a wonderful way. He had just fed multitudes of people. It was even to the point that in just a few verses it said he had to hide himself because they wanted to make him king. But the chapter goes on. It goes to a level where it said he told them some things and said there were many of them that had been following him, and they turned and walked away. To the point that he asked his disciples, will you also go away? I love what they said. To whom would we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. That is the same for us today. It's easy for me to sing a song. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. We look over here in Psalms, and I love this psalm, 23rd chapter, because it starts out so good. I would like to live my life in the first part of the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I would love to live my life staying right there. The still waters. Because we also have some verses that talk about storms and raging seas. Those are places in our life that we would rather never have to go to. This 23rd Psalm goes into some other areas. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a little different than those still waters that I've been staying at and enjoying so much. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, I'm so glad that there are promises in the Bible that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what comes our way in our life, we can embrace the things that God puts into our life. Realizing that for the Christian, Jesus has a plan. I want to bring some things into your life, and they may not always be for us, ourselves. It may be for others that are looking on. And there's something else I thought about. You know, when Jesus asked his disciples, are you going to go away also? And they said, to whom would we go? I don't see any of the disciples throughout their ministry that they had cancer, that they were down sick unto death. But I want to tell you, they had suffering. It says, through great tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom. They had much suffering that they went through. Today, maybe you don't have health problems. Maybe you have other troubles that can come into your life. I appreciated the message that I heard yesterday morning. Because what we want to do, what's the most important thing to do, is to be able to share what says the Word of God. It's not about my opinion or a book that I read that I like and other books I don't really like. It is, what does the Word of God say? And I'm interested today in finding out, what does the Word of God say about suffering? There is a poem. It says, God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. He has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. This is some of the suffering that we will go through. God has not promised that we shall not know toil and temptations, trouble and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God's not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. That's the first part of Psalms 23, a wonderful experience. Never a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep. You know, he's telling us times about when there were storms and the disciples were there to the point that they thought, our life is almost over. Don't you care that we perish? And he was right there in that time. This goes on to say, God has promised strength for the day, rest from the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness and undying love. We sing a song, when I started long ago to trust Jesus, I was seeking for security. I needed something steady to hold to and something that would hold to me. Then it said, I'm going to keep holding on to Jesus. For no other friend so faithful could be. I'm going to keep holding on to Jesus because I know he's holding on to me. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, there are some stories that tell, some things that tell us about the kingdom of heaven is like. In 13 and 44, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof, he goes and sells all he has, and he buys that field. I would like to think that is the day that I'm saved. I'm willing to give up everything for it. It is so valuable to me. And then I see a little verse that comes along and says, buy the truth and sell it not. The devil would love to convince us that this treasure sometimes is not so valuable and we put it back up for sale. There are some places where Paul went through some things and was faithful through it all. Why was it that in the 6th chapter, Jesus was talking to the people and they turned from multitudes following him toward many walked away and went no more with him? He started telling them something like this: you're going to need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is no longer about the loaves and the fishes. This is about when trouble comes your way, that you can put your hand in mine and willing to suffer like Jesus suffered. When Jesus talked to Ananias, said, I want you to go and pray for Saul. He is a chosen vessel. I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my name. You know, some of the things that he suffered, we get to read about where he was stoned. We get to read about where he was shipwrecked, where he was beaten. But that wasn't all of his suffering. You know, he had a desire and he wrote it out in one of the verses. My heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they would be saved. You know what his desire was? That everywhere he went, he would be able to encourage people to be faithful to the Lord and make heaven their home. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel, that they would be saved. I'd like to look for just a little bit at some of the things that he had to suffer. In Acts, the 14th chapter, just like Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, this one, Jesus was real popular at the beginning, and he lost that popularity before it was over, because there's going to be suffering coming. This one in the 14th chapter of Acts, it says there was a great multitude that believed in the first verse. But then it says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the people. And before that chapter was ended, they had prayed for a man and he was healed. And the people decided this is God's come down to be among us. And they wanted to offer sacrifices to him. And then some of those Jews, that his desire was that they would be saved, some of those Jews came along and persuaded the people, and they stoned Paul. This was some of the suffering that Paul had to go through with. There was also another place where there was a band of 40 men that said, we will not eat, we will not drink again until Paul is dead. That's some suffering. That wasn't cancer, but that was some suffering. There may be some here today that will never have an affliction, but you will have some things to suffer. What I want to encourage you with today is how we look at suffering. We can look at suffering as, I want it gone. I do myself. That's why we have prayer request time in our services. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And I get to tell him, Lord, this is the way I would like for it to be done. And I love the example that we have. When Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He had a request for something different. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It is going to be so valuable for every one of us with a desire to go to heaven. We get to tell God the way we would like for it to go. But it is so important that I put my hand in his and say, Lord, truly from my heart, where you lead me, I will follow. I'll go with you all the way. I did the same thing with Cheryl. Lord, we would love it if you would turn things around for her. You know, there comes a point where I put my hand in the Lord's and walk with him. I look at some of the things that Paul said over in Romans in the 8th chapter and in the 35th verse. So the man that sold everything to buy that field that had the treasure in it, it was going to be important that he saw the value of that from then on, or he'd be willing to sell the field back again. This one in 8 and 35, Paul is saying, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, naked, peril, sword. None of these are physical afflictions. None of this describes cancer or any of the other things that we could go from here with. But it's trouble that can separate us from the love of Christ. But Paul went on with all the things that happened in his life. He went on down in the 38th verse and he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, the things that are happening in your life today, we can be persuaded that none of these things are going to turn me from the love that I have for Christ. I want to be able to have that. In the 18th verse of this chapter, this is Paul speaking again. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It is going to be very important for every one of us, because suffering will come to you in one form or another. It's going to be very important for us to reckon that this suffering that I'm going through right now is not worthy to be compared with heaven out ahead. It's going to be so, that is really what kept Paul. He came to the Lord with a request and he prayed 3 times for it. Lord, I would love for you to change this situation for me. Got a thorn in the flesh. None of us know what it was. Maybe it was a physical affliction, maybe it was something else. He prayed 3 times. And he got an answer from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you. And what did he say from that? Lord, I tell you what, I've gone through so many things for you, I'm giving it up right now. No, most gladly, therefore, will I go through this. I am thankful for the examples that have been given. There is another thing that Paul said in Romans in the 20th chapter. Well, it's where he said, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that are going to befall me there. But I do know something. There are bonds and afflictions that await me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. I want to finish my course with joy. That was his testimony. I have watched several people, you have too, this past year, that finished their course with joy. Sister Maxine was the latest one. For months, she lay in her hospital bed with her hand in the Lord's. You know, the Lord could bring her out of that. He did before. when she broke her hip and she said, I will put this in God's hands, you know what she was really saying? God, I consecrate this to you. I may never walk again unless you help me. How could she do that? I believe she had a vision out in eternity, like Paul had, that was able to carry him through. These things that God sends to us is with a desire to help us make heaven and to help others be able to make heaven their home. Sister Maxine, as she laid in her bed, it's real easy when you're going through suffering for life to just turn in all about me and the things that are happening in my life, and I'm only surviving. Sister Maxine had a request before the Lord. She said, my desire is that I would be able to minister to this congregation as long as you give me life. And God allowed her to do that. Up to the time of the meeting when we closed down services anyhow, she had been able to send us a message. And I want to tell you something. Those messages, when you're going through suffering, are way up here in value. They mean so much to us because she did not let life turn in about herself. She was able in the middle of it to hand it to God and still minister to us. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I want to look in another place in the book of Job, first chapter. This chapter tells us that Job thought he understood human nature. God comes to Job in the first chapter, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and an upright man. He fears God and he turns from evil. And Satan did not say, I don't know who Job is. He said, you've got a hedge about him. I want to tell you, I'm very thankful that God also has a hedge about each one of his children. He will not allow, I've got to have this faith. You know, there's a verse that says, don't cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense, a reward. That confidence is, God's got a hedge around me. Yes, I'm in this trouble right now, but it's because God has opened the hedge for a little bit to let Satan come and work with me. And that's what Satan did with Job. You know, God, even in the first chapter, he put bounds on it. He said, you can go this far, but you cannot go any farther. You can touch his things. And Satan said, when I touch his things, he's going to curse you to your face. When his things were touched and they were all gone, it said, Job said, I didn't have anything when I came into this world. I won't have anything whenever I leave out of this world. The Lord gave it, and the Lord hath taken away. I want to tell you something. In our sufferings that we go through that involve other people, those are just as real as physical sufferings. And if we're not careful, we will not go through it the way Job did. Job was told what the Sabaeans took. He was told what the Chaldeans took. It would have been real easy for him to put in his mind, one day I'll be meeting up with the Chaldeans. They've got the upper hand now, but I will later on. What did Job say? The Lord did it. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. There is a valuable lesson for me in this. The same lesson can be gotten from Joseph. When his brothers sold him, and he went through so much adversity, he did not keep a notebook that I can see, that I can hear about, and said, okay, this woman's name is in here. One of these days, we will even up the score. My brothers did this to me. I have this churning in my mind for all these years. You know what? There's a verse that tells us why that is dangerous. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and the good that Joseph could have been to the people could have been ruined. But instead, we get to see after Joseph has gone through all this, he's now in prison. He tells the dreams. It looks like soon he may be out again, and he asks the guy that goes back to the king, "Would you put in a good word for me?" And he forgot for 2 more years. And Joseph committed his life. As far as I know, it was about 13 years that Joseph committed of his life to God. But then when he met his brothers, so much could have been said. You know what he said? "Don't be angry. It wasn't you." You know how valuable that's going to be for us to realize in the troubles that we go through. And let's forget about afflictions this time. Maybe there are a lot of people here with no affliction, but I guarantee you we're going to have sufferings come from others around us. Joseph was able to say, "It wasn't you that put me here. It was God." And he had a purpose. For the 13 years of my life that I lost, he had a purpose. And I yield to that purpose. The same was with Daniel. When Daniel prayed 3 times a day, he didn't do it to be seen. He did it because of a heart that he had toward God. So when he heard about the news, no more praying for the next 30 days, he could have prayed in his closet and said, "Lord, you can hear through the walls." But instead, he opened his windows and he prayed still. He knew suffering would be coming, could be coming. Because, you know, I can about imagine them watching. Can you imagine what should have been their thoughts when they realized this guy knows he could go to the lion's den and he is still willing to pray? That should have brought some fear on their heart, but it didn't. But when he goes into the lion's den and God protects him, you know, he did not know what the outcome of that would be. He put it in God's hands. But he also, we get to look at his heart the next morning when the king came and said, "Oh, Daniel, has this God saved you?" There was a lot of things Daniel could have said to the king right then. He could have said, "What a foolish thing you just did, thinking so much of yourself that you want people to pray to you." He didn't do it. He said, "Oh, king, live forever. Go on with what you're doing. God had a little plan for this in my life." But Satan wasn't through with the good record that Job had in the first chapter. Because he comes on down in the second chapter, and I believe Satan thought, "I still know where to touch him." And when God comes to him and says, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's still faithful to me." And Satan says, "Skin for skin. Everything a man has, he'll give it when it comes down to his life." And God again opens the hedge a little bit. "Now we will cause this suffering to be physical suffering, but you cannot take his life." God is in control of our lives, of the Christian. And it is so important for me to trust in that. What did happen when Job's wife told him, "You're going to still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." And he said, Job said, "You're talking like a foolish woman." You know, we're going to have the good things like Psalms 23 said come into our life, and I'm so happy with them. Are we also going to be willing to accept the evil things that come, the trouble, the problem things that come to us? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What does all that have to do with us today? On the day that I got saved, I went out and I sold all to buy that field with treasure in it. And then there are some things that come to us. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, there's some trouble that can come. We don't want it to happen to us, and we can ask for it to be removed. First chapter, and in the 6th verse, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." This is that field that I bought so I could get the treasure. "The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's telling us here, you know what? All of the temporal things that you can assess in your life are not as valuable as this trying of your faith and you coming out good on the other side. What did Job say? I looked on the left hand, I looked on the right hand. The places where I used to feel him, I don't feel him now. Did he say, I quit? No. He said, he knows the way I take. No matter what you're going through today, stick with that. You may not feel him. He may not have answered what you need, what you want. But he knows the way you take. And when he has tried you, you will come forth as gold. That is what is very important. There is a song. Song number 37. Fourth verse. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. We are each one headed for eternity. And Jesus and his Father is doing everything they can to give us the best opportunity to make heaven. That last verse says, the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Those things that happen in our life that we may not be able to understand, those people that turned and walked away in the sixth chapter of John, there was also some other folks in Acts, the fifth chapter, that had trouble into their life. They didn't have sickness, but they had trouble. Acts 5 and 40. To be able to be preaching the word of God, and here comes trouble. 40th verse, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. They departed from the council, and they never talked about Jesus again. No. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Hebrews 12 tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses that we can take a look at. And those witnesses should cause us to lay aside every weight that would hold us back. We don't have to go to Hebrews 11 to see part of that great cloud of witnesses. I went yesterday to visit Brother Curtis as I was coming here. You might be able to say his life is hanging in the balance, hanging by a thread. I want to tell you something. All of ours is. It says, go to now, ye that say, I'm going to do this today and tomorrow. Got plans for tomorrow because I'm feeling so well. We don't know what the future holds. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold. Brother Curtis's faith is being tried today. The result of it will be much more valuable than gold. I don't know if y'all remember, this is not the first time he has gone through this battle. When he had his first heart attack some years ago, I remember bringing his mother home after she had gone to visit him on a Sunday. She was gone. She had died by the next Saturday. And Curtis is still hanging by a thread with his confidence in God. I can remember the call going out. Pray for Curtis. When we give him the news very easily, it could finish him off. But you know what? God wasn't finished with him then. Curtis just put his hand in God's You know, it's one thing to sing that song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." But it's another thing to just, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." The Lord brought him back out of that. He was working at that time. And it was a great testimony to the people that he worked with that he had been so low and now he is doing so well. Well, today, he is back facing that again. God sustained him in the past. I told him, I said, "Curtis, you're preaching a louder message from this bed than any you could preach to us standing there healthy." Song number 55 is a song that we sing, and I like to hear the tune of it. Doesn't take you just a few minutes to sing it, but it'll take us a lifetime to live it. "O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea. Forever I choose the good will of my God when it lines up with my will and when it doesn't line up with my will." And it says, "Roll on, checkered seasons, smiles or tears." This is where Brother Curtis is giving us an example today. Last year during this meeting, Cheryl and I was listening to the services, and we heard Sister Brenda Wilkins come on with a testimony of how God had healed her. You know what? We still believe in divine healing. God is still able to do it. We put our hand in His. I think of that verse that says, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." There is one place that our thoughts can line up, and that is when I realize His desire is to take me to heaven. We sing a song, and Brother Willie Murphy today gave us a testimony of how God turned things around. Got bumped off of hospice. That's a wonderful testimony. I can remember Dad got bumped off of him, I think, 3 times before the Lord took him. And I think there's a reason for that. It helps us to realize, you know what, God's in control of all those things. All I do is put myself in His hands and let Him walk with me. There's a song that says, "Oh yes, we're going to trust Him while we live. We're going to trust Him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we're going to dwell with Him on high." I would like for us to sing a song in closing. It's song number 137. Because all of us, even if you have no trouble today, if you continue to live for the Lord, trouble will come your way. But when it does, if you will realize, you know what, God has put something in my path here. He wants to take me to heaven. Cheryl said, "I have always prayed that God would send into my life the thing that will give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home. And now I believe this is what it is." Folks, there's a song that has been sung in funerals before. "I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'll have my precious Jesus with me each passing day. I'm going to have my healing here below, or it's going to be life eternal. This I know. So praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way." Jesus said, "There's a peace that I want to give you. It's a peace not like the world can give. This is that peace. That when the world, the troubles are raging around me, I can have a peace knowing God has this in control. He is allowing this for some reason in my life. And I know part of that reason. He's not willing that any would perish. He wants me to make heaven my home also. So He sends some things to me." And I think of what Curtis is going through, and I think of what was said to the churches in Revelations. "Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is trying to say to the churches today." May we be faithful to Him. Song number 137. "I do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of ease. I only pray that Christ may guide across the stormy seas. I do not pray that flowers may bloom along my pilgrim way. I only ask that Christ may guide my footsteps, lest I stray. If thou wilt lead me by the hand and guide my trembling feet, for thee, O Christ, I'll gladly drink the bitter with the sweet. Well, that'd take about 2 or 3 minutes to sing that song. But Lord, for me to have it down in my heart, I'm going to need his help. What though my life be peace or pain, it'll soon be o'er. My desire, I want to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. There's a prayer that is given in Psalms 139. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Lord, check it out. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He has promised to do that. Sometimes I would like for him to lead me in a different way than he's leading. But may I put my hand in his and sing the song, "Where thou leadest, I will follow." May God help us each one.